We're talking about a new approach to learning, a key to Derech HaLimud, which we called overlap or merger. What does that mean? You can have two mitzvot that overlap, and it's just coincidental, and each mitzvah remains independent of the other. Or do they merge together to form one entity? And yesterday we had a great long discussion about the overlap of the first cup of wine in the case of Dalet Kosos on Leil Pesach and the mitzvah of Kiddush. The first cup of wine has two different mitzvahs to it, Kiddush and Dalet Kosos. And we had a long discussion about Rav Haigon. Rav Haigon is of the opinion that if you don't have wine for Dalet Kosos, then you forfeit the mitzvah of Kiddush. Even though on every yontif we make Kiddush, and if you don't have wine, you can make Kiddush on Pas, and here we have Matzah, we can't make Kiddush on Matzah, because the mitzvah of Kiddush on the Leil HaPesach has to be on wine, because it has to be the first of the Dalet Kosos of Leil Pesach. So that gave us the idea of integration. It's not just a coincidental overlap, but the halacha requires that in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush, you have to fulfill the mitzvah of Dalet Kosos. And that can only be done with Yayin and not with Matzah. Radical Kiddush of Rav Haigon. We want to extend this perhaps in the other direction and suggest that with this new merger, the law would be that if you had, I'm filling John in on what we discussed yesterday because he missed, that if you had Yayin, which would be fine for the mitzvah of Dalet Kosos, but would not be fine for the mitzvah of Kiddush, then it could very well be possible that according to Rav Haigon, you would not be able to use that wine for the mitzvah of Dalet Kosos, even though that wine would normally be considered fine. So for the other three Kosos, you could use that wine. We spoke about Yayin Kanditon, but the first Kos is integrated together and it merges with the cup of Kiddush. And if I'm of the opinion that Kanditon wine is not kosher for Kiddush, then it could be that therefore it would not be kosher for the first of the Dalet Kosos of Yayin.
Because Kanditon wine?
Kanditon means wine that you add sugars to.
Oh.
They added honey, they added different sweeteners. And the law is that such wine is possible for what's called Nisach al Gabi Mizbeach, because Dvash doesn't go on the Mizbeach. And therefore that wine, according to the Rambam, is possible for Kiddush. The Rambam has an analogy in which there's an interdependence between Yayin shel Mizbeach for Nisach and Yayin shel Kiddush. Now, the other approach that we suggested is that within the context of this merger, perhaps we could take Yayin that would normally not be fitting for Kiddush, and we could be machshir it for Kiddush for the first cup and for the Kiddush of Leil Pesach. Meaning, it doesn't have to go l'chumra, but maybe it could go l'kula. And we based ourselves on the Ramah. The Ramah in Hilchos Pesach seems to allow Dalet Kosos on Shar Mashkin, which is called Chamar Medina. Now, he bases himself on the fact that some Rishonim are of the opinion that you could use Chamar Medina for Kiddush. And since there's a merger between Kiddush and Dalet Kosos, you can take that wine, which is not wine, it's only Shar Mashkin, and it's Chamar Medina, and you can use it for the mitzvah of Dalet Kosos. So in that sense, we're seeing that the merger theory goes l'kula and not l'chumra. That in this merger between Kiddush and Dalet Kosos, if you had something that was good, it was valid for one of them, that could automatically make it valid for the other, where it normally wouldn't. So therefore the Ramah is going to allow you to use Chamar Medina for Dalet Kosos, which would normally be completely invalid, right? You can't use Dalet Chamar Medina. You need Yayin. But since you can be Yotzei Kiddush, then ipso facto, you can be Yotzei Dalet Kosos. And therefore, we want to take it the merger in both directions and say that not only does it work L'chumra, like for example, if you don't have Yayin, you only have Matzah, so the Rav Haigon says you can't use that Matzah for Kiddush on this night because you don't have the mitzvah of Dalet Kosos. And Dalet Kosos has to be, or the first of the Dalet Kosos has to be the trigger of Kiddush. So if and when I'm fulfilling the mitzvah of Kiddush, then I can use that for the mitzvah of if and when I'm fulfilling the mitzvah of Dalet Kosos, then I can use that for the kiyum of Kiddush. And that's going L'chumra, to exclude Kiddush over Matzah. Maybe it goes the other way around, according to the Ramah, L'kula, and I can use for Dalet Kosos that which normally would be invalid for Dalet Kosos because I can use it for Kiddush. And that's the case of Chamar Medina. In that case, if we take the Ramah to the next step, then it could be possible that I could use Yayin Kanditon for Kiddush on Leil HaPesach, even according to the Rambam Shita, which normally would exclude and disqualify Yayin Kanditon, insofar as I could use that Yayin for Dalet Kosos. So this is the theory of Greira. Greira means when you merge two things, one is Gorer and the other. And the halachas have to mirror one to the other. Then we started a discussion, which we didn't finish, about the mitzvah of Lechem Mishnah on Leil Pesach. And normally Lechem Mishnah requires Shlemos. We have a complicated situation on Leil HaPesach because the Torah says that matzah is called Lechem Oni. Lechem Oni, which literally translates as the poor man's bread, is Lechem Prusa. Darko Shel Oni B'Prusa. And just to give you the sociology for that, it means that a poor person cannot afford to buy bread. So when he comes to the baker, he says to the baker, look, I'm very poor, I can't afford your prices, what can you give me? Can you give me something cheap, really cheap? So the normal customer will not buy broken pieces of bread or broken pieces of matzah. You know, if you come, again, this is no longer the case, but theoretically, if you come home after you spend a lot of money on matzah and you find that all the matzahs in the box are broken, you should be able to go back and tell all my money. I wish you luck, but in theory, they should be guaranteeing you that the matzahs are whole.
Ashalim.
What?
Ashalim.
Ashalim, right, they should be whole. But it's, you know, if you're lucky, you know, Komamiya's matzah sometimes comes in the clutch because their matzahs are a little bit thicker than the other matzahs. But if you find tons of matzahs, they're about this thin. And if you don't have three or four broken matzahs in the group, you're in great shape. You're really lucky. So the question that I want to raise with you is the following. If on the one hand I need shlemos for the mitzvah of Lechem Mishnah, and in that sense Pesach is no different than any Shabbos or Yontif, but what about the fact that I need a Lechem Oni, a kiyum of Prusa, which means a broken matzah, so I'm in a sort of a conflict. So here we have the approach of the Bali Atosis. The Bali Atosis say, look, these are two independent mitzvahs, and you'll fulfill both of them. You'll make a bracha of Hamotzi Lechem in Arts on Shlemus, and then you'll take a Shlema and you'll break it, and you'll make Al Achilas Matzah in order to fulfill Darko Shaloni B'Prusa on the Prusa. So you gain the best of both worlds. And I photocopied the page for you yesterday in which he quotes the Re in of the Bali Atosis, and he says, Yesh levarech ala shlema tchila hamotzi. So he recites the bracha of hamotzi lechem menorah on a shlema, and then he fulfills the mitzvah of lechem mishnah on a shlema, and then he says botzea. He breaks the matzah umevarech ala prusa ala chilas matzah, and therefore he's yotzei in both. So he's going to eat a kezayis of the shlema. He's going to eat a kezayis of the prusa. With the kezayis of the shlema, he fulfills the mitzvah of lechem mishnah. With the kezayis of the prusa, he fulfills the mitzvah of lechem oni. So basically what we have here are two mitzvahs. Each one independently demands its kiyum, and that's exactly what we're going to do. However, the Rambam, which you'll see on the bottom right side of your page, does anybody have the copies that I gave out yesterday? No? You have to copy it again?
No.
Oh, yeah. Usually Sam takes care of that for me, but he's not here.
If you want, I can do it for you.
But then I won't be able to continue the shiur because I don't have a copy. So you know what? We'll do it bal peh. I think so far we're surviving it so far. Okay. So the Rambam in the 8th parak of Hilchos Chametz Matzah, which is dedicated to the mitzvah of Leil HaPesach, he says, "Mevarach al netilas notil yadav, mevarach al netilas yadayim notil yadav," and then he says, "Lokeach shnei rikikiv." So the Rambam only has two matzahs. Cholik echad mehem. And mevarach hamotzilach min haaretz, mevarach al achilas matzah. So the Rambam has both brachos on the prusa. Now it's a little more complicated than that, but I don't want to get off on a tangent. It's not relevant to us. The Rambam has both one shlema and one prusa, and the reason for that has to do with birchas hamitzvahs. Really, has nothing. I'm sorry. Has to do with birchas hanenin. Has nothing to do with birchas hamitzvah. Meaning that when you make a bracha of hamotzi lechem min haaretz in general, the whole year round, forget about Shabbos, even during the weekday, you want to make the bracha, if possible, on a shlema. Because hamotzi lechem min haaretz together with a betzia, when you break into the bread, that's a kiyum unto itself. But that's not what we're talking about here. It could also be possible that the Rama requires one shlema in order to set up the kiyum of lechem oni on the prusa. Because you need a contrast between the shlema and the prusa in order to set up the prusa as a prusa. That's another different idea. But be that as it may, according to the Shitas HaRambam, what we're doing is we're merging both the matzah of lechem oni with the matzah of hamotzi lechem min haaretz. And in that merger, because we have a conflict, we're going to have to decide which beats out which. And in this case, the Rambam holds that the kiyum of a prusa beats out the kiyum of lechem mishnah, and as a result of this, what we call the merger, you're left with forfeiting the mitzvah of lechem mishnah. But here, if you take a look at the bottom left, he says the following. He says, "Lidas hacholkim al Rambam, both of these elements shomrim al halacha regula shalom." Each element, he calls it a markiv, protects and demands its own fulfillment. So there are two elements here, two ingredients. There's the mitzvah of lechem oni, there's the mitzvah of lechem mishnah, and we'll fulfill both of them, as we said before. And therefore we're going to need three matzahs. We're going to need two shlemos, and a third shlema, which is going to become a prusa. Aval Rambam me'idach, Sover Shebeherkev Hamuchad Azeh, where we unite and integrate these two kiyumim, Lechem Oni Sholeit Umashpia Al Kiyum Hashem. In other words, the Lechem Oni beats out the second kiyum. We have to have a sense of an Oni, a Tchushas Oni, by eating a Prusa. And therefore, Beleil Pesach, Ein Levarech Al Achilas Matzah Al Lechem Mishnah. Lechem Mishnah perhaps is indicative of wealth, right? Of the man, you know, we had so much an abundance of sustenance, and that's Lechem Mishnah. And therefore that's, in a sense, undermines or contradicts the sense of Tchushas HaOni, of feeling the poverty of Lechem Oni, and therefore we need a Prusa. So therefore, as soon as we break up one matzah, we take half of it for the mitzvah of al achilas matzah as a prusa, the other half we save for the afikomen. What he's left with, therefore, is matzah achas v'chetzi. He's only left with 1.5 matzah. And he's going to recite his brachas on 1.5 matzah. And in that sense, the lechem oni, he says, sholeit v'goreim shel lechem mishnah b'leil pesach, who rak b'matzah achas v'chetzi. So I don't know what he means over here. Is he suggesting that there is some sort of impaired kiyum of lechem mishnah, that somehow lechem mishnah, which normally requires two shlemas, now it's only 1.5, one shlema, one prusa? I would have said that according to the Rambam, we completely undermine the kiyum of lechem mishnah. But again, he wants to suggest that there's a merger here. And in a merger, there may be one dominant element of the merger, like let's say for example if two companies merge and the net worth of one company is that much greater than that of the other, so in that partnership agreement, you know, it's like if you own shares in the stock, so one of the companies owns most of the shares and it dominates and it can control the decisions of the company, but in any event there is a merger, but there still remains some sort of domination theory. So from his perspective, it could be that that's the Rambam's thesis about Lechem Mishnah Leil HaPesach. There is a merger, but there's still one dominant element in the merger. Okay. Now, let's jump ahead for a moment to the third kos, which is, again, a possible merger, because it's both what? Birkas HaMazon and the third of the Dalet Kosos. Now, keep in mind that today, you know, we shouldn't be influenced by the ambiance that's contemporary. We don't make a big deal today, in general, about a kos of Birkas HaMazon. You know, we'll be mocked, for example, on Shabbos, maybe for a kos of Birkas HaMazon. Even that's a little bit wishy-washy. Sheva Brachas, Birkas Erusin. You know, there are cases where we finish a Suda, we take out a kos, and we recite Birkas HaMazon. But back in the day, as you go through the sugyas, especially in Arvei Pesachim, there was a tremendous emphasis on a kos for Birkas HaMazon.
I have a brother-in-law who's I go Chassam Sefer, and he says, Minach Chassam Sefer, every bench, even a yochid, takes a kais, and he takes a kais.
Even a yochid. Every time. That's the way it was back in the time of the Gemara. I don't know why it got lost over time. There are a lot of things that when you read the Gemara, you see that pay this. For example, back in the time of the Gemara, you didn't eat a fruit by just rinsing it off. You had to rinse it off, and then you had to dry it. And I see people occasionally, they're outstanding Talmidei Chachamim. I don't know if your brother-in-law also, maybe, I wouldn't be surprised if this is also a Chassam Sofer Chumrah, that you dry the fruit before you eat it. Again, there are many, many other examples of this, of halachas that somehow, in a sense, got lost over time.
It's because the moisture attracts tumah? Is that the reason?
Yeah, because since you're daim ashnias l'tumah, if you have a vegetable or fruit that's wet, then this Kabbalah's tumah. Back in the day, they were very careful about that. I don't know if I could think of any other examples offhand, but there are many different dinim that even a woman covering her hair back in Lithuania got lost in the shuffle to some extent. I mean, there were, I'm not saying there weren't, there was the Nikonios that covered their hair back in Lithuania, but the Aruch HaShulchan already writes that it's not an Erva in our time. Normally, Serbisa Erva certainly applies to Nations Ish, but already the Aruch HaShulchan in his time, 110 years ago, said that you could read Kriyat Shema in front of a married woman who doesn't cover her hair. He wasn't meaning to say, so you'll misunderstand him, that a woman doesn't have to cover her hair. Chas v'shalom, you know, he spends paragraph to paragraph writing how important it is for a woman to cover her hands. But it's no longer an error, but that's how commonplace it was. So we have things like that. Anyway, getting back to the kos shlishis of Dalet Kosos, which is also a kos of Birkas HaMazon. So if you take a look here, okay, even if you don't have it, but I'll read to you the part that's most relevant to us. How do we define that overlap of the two mitzvahs of Koshel Birkas HaMazon and Koshel Dalet Kosos? Is it some sort of a merger? And if it is, would one element be dominant over the other? So he says the following. Ayin Ba'avudraham. The Vajraham was known about 6 centuries ago, 5.5 centuries ago, as the expert on Nusach HaTfilah, Nusach HaGadah, and he wrote commentaries in which he has introductions to various sections that are halachic in nature. For example, he has an introduction, I'll just mention in passing, to the Slichos Asor B'Teves, in which he writes that if Asor B'Teves would fall out on Shabbos, which it cannot do in our calendar, you'd fast on Shabbos. And we only know this from the Avudraham. Anyway, in his Pirush on the Haggadah, when he gets to Birkas HaMazon, the third of the four Kosos, he introduces a Shita that says the following. Levayer esadin shehevi arif bi echad boy lebruche betray utal sabati. Okay, here's an interesting case. A person eats his meal, his Seder meal, in one particular bias, and then he relocates himself in a second bias. Now you might ask, why is he doing so? And in a sense, again, we're going back 6 centuries, but it's so contemporary. He wants to help out the people in the other Seder, because they don't know how to do it. It's like, I remember when I was a youngster, we did a mock Seder in Cooper Union University. It's an engineering school in Manhattan. And all the elements were there, except there wasn't Yom Tov, you know. And we did such things in other places too. My father's father used to do this in the Coney Island Hospital, where he was the chaplain. So he says that he wants to relocate himself. Now, the problem is that he already benched in his own bias. Now he wants to bench in the second bias for the sake of those who don't know how to bench. They don't know Birkas HaMazon. You know, they didn't have printed Siddurim, and this is a century. Well, actually, he's quoting the Rif, so the Rif is going back to, you know, to the 1000s. You know, we're really going back in time. So they didn't have printed Siddurim. Oh, now let me ask you a question. This is a quiz question. If I already benched, can I bench for you and be motzi you? There's a normal principle called yatsa motzi, that if I fulfill the mitzvah, I can still do it for you as long as I'm chayav in the same mitzvah. Can I apply that to Birkas HaMazon? The answer is no. Once a person benches, he can't bench for someone else. There's no yatsa motzi. Now, we'll soon see there's another etzah here. They could repeat word for word, and then it's not Shomei Kohen, it's not that I'm being motzi. But let's assume for whatever reason, they're not going to read Birkas HaMazon together with me. So we have to find a solution, says the Rif. How can a person bench in one bias and then be motzi others in another bias? Normally I would tell you that's an impossibility. And the Rif, and this is all based on Rav Amram Gaon, one of the Gaonim who came before the Rif, he says that yesh takana, there's a way out. And he says how? He says, oh, I'm sorry. First he quotes Rav Amram Gaon that in Ein Yodim, if they don't know how to make Birkas HaMazon and they can't repeat it after him, Ein Takana Lo Tzio. He's right, Rav Amram Gaon is applying the universal rule that there's no Yatsa Motzi in Birkas HaMazon. Okay. The Kasav HaRosh, Tafilum Einom Yodim Birkas HaMazon, Yesh Takana, there is a Takana. And he says the reason why he can recite Birkas HaMazon is ki hechi the Birkas HaLechem Shel Matzah Motziim. This is really interesting. Let's say, for example, I hop over to your house and we're at the beginning of the Seder. I already finished my Seder. So I'm no longer obligated in the mitzvah of matzah. I fulfilled my mitzvah. I can recite not only the bracha of the matzah on your behalf, which doesn't bother me, that's yotza motzi, but I can even make the bracha of hamotzi lechem in aretz on your behalf. Now normally in Birkas HaBenim, only the person who's going to be nana can make the bracha. So how can I be motzi you? He says that since he can be motzi him in the bracha of al achilas matzah as a Birkas HaMitzvah, he can also be motzi him with our motzi lechem aretz. Ki hechi de birchas halechem motzim kevetshu chova, since there's a chova on the part of the other guys, right? The guys who haven't yet made the brachas, haven't been yotzei. Therefore, I can recite even the birchas halechem on his behalf. Do you see what's going on here? We're changing the rules of the game. The universal rules are if I'm not eating the bread, I can't be motzi with our motzi lechem and aretz. But in this case, since I can be motzi you with the bracha on the lechem as far as al achilas matzah b'toras mitzvahs matzah, which means yotza motzi, I can already be motzi you even in our motzi lechem and aretz. I know, Daniel, you're thinking of the question that you raised yesterday about the overlap of Bar Priya Goffin and Kiddush. You remember you raised that point? That itself is a merger.
No, I'm thinking.
You were sitting on this
I'm
side.
I'm thinking something else.
But it was the same idea.
Different perspective.
Do you remember that you said that yesterday?
I don't remember.
You were sitting here, Daniel, and you pointed out, and of course, Kedaki Bakosh, I pushed you off a little because I wanted to save it for today. What about the if we're talking about mergers and overlaps, why not talk about the two brachas of Kiddush? Insofar as Bar Priya Gofer is a Birchas HaMenim, and then Kiddush is a Birchas HaMitzvah.
I've got another problem now.
Okay, but wait a minute. Let me go slowly. Because I want to show you that your logic really comes to the fore here in this discussion of the Rush. The Rush is saying that because of the merge of Hamotzi Lech Min Aretz and Alachilus Matzah, one is a Birchas HaMenim and the other is a Birchas HaMitzvah, I can be Motzi someone in both brachas, which undermines the universal rule that would apply to Hamotzi Lech Min Aretz. David, give me just one more second. He says, Hachinami, he says the same thing. This is a Rishon, this is a Rush. Birchas HaMazon came under Tiknu Dalid Kosos, the Tiknu She'echem Mehem who Birchas HaMazon. So one of the four Kosos is Birchas HaMazon. Havi Birchas HaChova, therefore becomes a Birchas HaChova. And now I can recite Birchas HaMazon for you.
The biggest stretch. Birchas HaMazon is the Raisa.
Well, okay, wait. You light me as ahead of me. Trouble is when you teach these geniuses, you know, it's very hard to keep up with them. I'm sorry. I just want to digest what he's saying here. He's saying that on the normal conditions, I can't recite Birchas HaMazon for you. There's no din of Yatzah Motzi with regard to Birchas HaMazon. It's a brachal of Atola. Here's going to be the exception that since they were mitaking that the third kos is the kos of Birchas HaMazon, and therefore the third kos becomes a chova insofar as it's part of what? The entire constellation of Dalit Kosos. Once there's a bracha of a chova on that, then it schleps along the Birchas HaMazon as well. Now Birchas HaMazon is a separate mitzvah of Yechalta V'Savata Me'rachta. Dalit Kosos, the third cup in this case, is a mitzvah of Chayav Adam Liras Asatzmo, of Sipri Tzis Mitzrayim. But because both brachos and both kiyumim are on the same shtia, meaning I drink that third cup, both Bitoris Kiyum Birkas Amos and Avitoris Kiyum Sipri Tzis Mitzrayim, and Chazal established both of them on the same shtia, The rules of the game now change. The universal rule that I can't be Mavarach Birchas HaMazon for you changes because now this kos generates a chova b'toras dalit kosos, and b'toras chova I can be motzi you. So the brach on the third kos as one of the dalit kosos becomes a Birchas HaMitzvah. Now the Birchas HaMazon is judged and defined as a Birchas HaMitzvah. So it's a wild kind of idea of a merger. The Rush quotes this in the name of Rabbeinu Yaakov, and then he says, V'ein dvar of nechon. He says it can't be. In other words, he is insisting the Rush, la-halacha, we can't rely on this shita, and the merger means two independent mitzvahs. So b'toras birkas ha-mitzvah, I can be motzi you, but b'toras birkas ha-mazon, I can't be motzi you. And if we apply that logic in the case of alachilas matzah, I can be motzi you with the alachilas matzah, but I can't be motzi you with the motzi lechem noiz. David? So comes along Daniel, and first I'm going to ask his question, then I'll develop it. And he says, wait a minute, it's not fair to make this equation, because when you're dealing with universal brachos, maybe Chazal can merge two different brachos, according to this Rabbeinu Yaakov, and make them into one.
They
make the rules, exactly. But in the case of a Doraisa, how can I apply the principle of merger and therefore generate new dinim for the mitzvah Doraisa of Birkas HaMazon? So I think the answer is what we discussed yesterday, which was Rashi Shita regarding Malchi Zichron of Shofros. And Rashi seems to have accepted, I think Sam yesterday was upset about this, that maybe that's not what Rashi meant, but in the world that I come from, everybody interpreted Rashi that way. It's a Rashi in Parshas Emor, that the mitzvah of Musaf on Rosh Hashanah, which is called Malki Zichron Shofas, is Doraisa. Rashi derives it from the pasuk Zichron Trua. And now Rashi says that we integrate two mitzvahs into one, Zichron Trua and the Shofar itself, which is Yom Trua Yilachem. And it's very possible, that's what he has a whole discussion about, that if you omit Musaf and you just hear the Shofar per se, your mitzvah of Shofar is incomplete. And that's on a Doraisa level. Ah, but there, that's not really a good tushta, because there, both mitzvahs are Doraisa. Rashi holds that we upgrade Malchus Zichron Shofar to a Doraisa of Zichron Trua. Shofar for sure is Doraisa. So you can merge two mitzvahs Doraisa. Here, in Rabbi Yaakov's frame of reference, we're doing something much more chutzpahdik. We are integrating a mitzvah Doraisa of Birkas HaMazon with a mitzvah d'rabbanan of Dalit Kosos.
Does the Rosh say why he doesn't agree? Or can we assume that's the reason?
He does say why he disagrees, but I'm not sure if I understand it. That's why I didn't read it to you. I'll try to read it to you, but you know, maybe we could work this out together. He says, Amrina b'yushalmi, b'perik misha meso, kol mitzvah sha'odam potu mehem, Motzi esaravim yidei chovason chutz mi birkas hamazon. So any mitzvah that I was obligated in, even after I fulfill my obligation, I can be motzu. That's what Yerushalmi says, but with one exception, that's birkas hamazon. Then Yerushalmi continues, v'hat ninon, don't we have a mishnah? Kol she'ena mechuyu b'dovrein motzi esaravim yidei chovason. So what does it say that if I was never mechuyav, then I can't be motzi? So why is that a kasha? Again, what do Yerushalmi say? That if I was... Let me go on, maybe it'll come clear. Ha'im ha'yachayav, afil yotzam motzi. Ah, I see. He's asking Akasha on the Chutzmi Birkas HaMazon. And that is that we have a Braisa that says that if I wasn't Mechuyev in the Mitzvah, I can't be Motziyu. But if I was Chayev in the Mitzvah, I could be Motziyu. So since I was Chayev in Birkas HaMazon before I recited Birkas HaMazon, I should be able to be Motziyu. I think that's what the Yerushalmi means. Omer Av Ila, Shanya hi birkas hamazon. The word shanya is the same as shiny in the Bible. Shanya hi birkas hamazon. Dechsiv bevi achalta v'savata uberachta. Misha ochal hu mevarech. It means that there's a separate gzeiras hakosav here in birkas hamazon, and you see, I think Daniel, in a sense, the Rosh is asking your kasha, but maybe in a little bit more fleshed out way. He's not just saying that Birkas HaMazon is Doraisa, so you can't play games. He's going even further. That in the parasha of Birkas HaMazon, we have this miut that excludes someone from being motzi someone else. It's mamish written in the parasha of Birkas HaMazon.
Is it because my sphere is not your sphere, or something like that?
Well, again, the drush is as follows. Misha ochal hu mevarech. Let me think. I once knew why this is so. Just give me a second, see if I can dig this up from my I think it works like this. Maybe that's what you're saying. That every other mitzvah, with the exception of Birkas HaMazon, is the chiyuv comes first, and then the implementation of that chiyuv. So therefore, since we both share the same chiyuv, I could be motziyu, even though I've already implemented my chiyuv, but I have the chiyuv. In Birkas HaMazon, there's no chiyuv to be mevarech Birkas HaMazon. It's just that once you're in the state of sviya, is as a result of that sphere there's a chiyuv. But you don't share any chiyuv with anybody else. His sphere will generate his mitzvah. In the case of all other mitzvahs, there's a universal machayev that says that everybody's chayev in that mitzvah. And even if Ruvain was already Yotze, he still shares the chiyuv with Shimon. But in the case of Yachalta v'Savata, there is no... You cannot postulate a chiyuv mitzvah Birkas HaMazon. There is no such thing. Birkas HaMazon doesn't exist in a vacuum. It exists because of Sviya. Now, you know, the fact that you have a chiyuv birkas hamazon in the sviya, that has nothing to do with me. So the sviya sets up the bracha. Now, all this touches on the fact that, as I said before, for me to be motzi and birkas hamazon would be a bracha levatol, and as the Torah says, lo sisa shem Hashem l'shav. So anytime I make a bracha, I can't just take it upon myself voluntarily to make a bracha, because if I do so, I'm going to violate the isur of Shem HaShav. What I need is a chiv. In the case of Yotza Motzi, I share that chiv because we both had the same chiv. In the case of Birkas HaMazon, I don't share that chiv. So therefore, the Rush rejects this dea, and at the end of the day, if you hop over to someone else's Seder table, you could be motzi them in any brachas that are related to the mitzvahs, the Dalet Kosos or any other mitzvah, like for example, al achilas matzah, but you can't be motzi them in Birkas HaMazon. Because although Birkas HaMazon can be recited on the third kos, it remains a separate entity. And he says the following. He says, Borer sheyesh ka machlokes kishe'echad kvar ochal ubirech Hayim yochol levarach od pam kdei lahotzi anoshim achem yidei chovasa levarach birkas hamazon b'shari mos hashana mishekvar birech ein yochol lahotzi anoshim achem yidei chovasa. Aval biyachas lelel haPesach shakos hashlish is koleles hein kos mibein dalet kos vehein kos of birkas hamazon is mitzad Hadalik kosos mutalon lohtzi achem yidofos mitzad birkas hamazon ein adam yotzi amachlokes tuya bechakira seinu benogel etzirufim meuchadim, meaning when we have this merger haim kol markiv shomer al zehuso, each element remains independent the oz ein adam yochel lohtzi achem yidofos levarich birkas hamazon. I can't be motzi you birkas hamazon because as a mitzvah birkas hamazon, it's your mitzvah, not my mitzvah. Al af, even though shu yochel lohutzi yedei chavosam al birchas arba kosos. Kishneem muuchadim bekos echad aval chiyuvim heim nivdolim. So this is what I call coincidental. There's a coincidental overlap of two mitzvahs on one kos, but each mitzvah retains its own regulations. L'das harishonim hamatirim, which is Rabbi Yaakov, hamatirim li'odem lahotzi achem yidei chovasa levarach birkas hamazon, yesh betziruf mu'uchad, we have an integration here of both mitzvahs in the kos shlishis. U'me'achar shemutu l'odem lahotzi yidei achem es chovasa legabi birchas arba kosos, insofar as arba kosos is the birchas hamitzvah, is mutalo gam lahotzi yisachem yidei chovasa levarach birkas hamazon. Why is that? Because now Birkas HaMazon becomes nivla. Oh, that's the word he uses. Nivla means it's swallowed up. Bachim shel kosh shlishi shel dalet kosos. So again, he's again approaching it from the perspective of one dominating element. David?
If somebody was at a Seder for some reason, he was ill or weak, he didn't eat, he didn't eat much or anything. Right. But the third cup, is he still higher of the mitzvah, the bracha of Birkas HaMazon? If he's not shtiyah, as you put it?
No. He hasn't eaten anything. So then he has to drink the third cup.
Right.
But then
it's
the
only one mitzvah. It's only the mitzvah of the
right, right. In such a case, he forfeits the special kiyum of transforming the third cup into a cup of Birkas HaMazon. That he can't achieve. So that's what the Gemara says on Daf Kuf Ches, that Shosa Bazechar Zef, he drinks four cups one after the other, he's Yotzi the Mitzvah Dalet Kosos, but he's not Yotzi the Mitzvah Cheres, because the Mitzvah Cheres requires that each one of these Dalet Kosos has its respective bracha on it, so he can't make the bracha of Birkas HaMazon on that kos. Now, I think, David, your question would be fascinating if, let's say, we're all sitting at one Seder table, and everyone but me ate a meal. So could it be that the Birkas HaMazon of all the other Mesubim could convert and transform my kos into a kos of Birkas HaMazon as far as Dalet Kosos, to get that extra kiyum of Dalet Kosos of Brach? I want the Dalet Kosos not to just be a perfunctory mechanical drinking of wine, I want it to have the Brach on it. Or do we say no? that everyone is a separate entity here, and your Birkas HaMazon and your kos has nothing to do with my kos. So I may hear your Birkas HaMazon and I'll yell out rah rah rah, amen amen amen, but that doesn't make my kos into a kos of Birkas HaMazon. But intuitively I would say not like that, but I'm not sure why. Maybe you could say the following. There's a halacha of Barov HaMajas Melech. Let me just think for a second. Let's say, I didn't eat anything, so l'chora, what shaykhs do I have to your Birkas HaMazon? See, I have to learn, I have to refresh my, need a refresher course, you know, here at VLC we're always offering refresher course. I need a refresher course in Dinei Zimun. I think there is a day in Poskim, I mean, again, this is going to sound crazy, that if, let's say, two people ate bread, the third person could be part of the Zimun, even though he didn't eat. If he was koveas to sit down with them, even though he never ate a pas, let's say. So imagine the following scenario. We're all eating together. You two gentlemen eat bread. I don't eat bread. I'm not chayav Birkas HaMazon, but I ate with you together. I had the chicken soup, and I had the liver, and so forth. So in such a case, I think there are poskim who say that we can create a zimun. Why? Because since we kovea achila biyachad, it has a din of haseba. So in that case, when I listen to your Birkas HaMazon, even though I'm not chayav Birkas HaMazon, I'm part of the zimun. And I wonder if that might not be enough to answer your question, David, to generate a din on my coast shlishes of a coast Birkas HaMazon. Or do we say no, that since I took my own cos? See, in this case, it would be interesting. If my logic is correct, I would say that maybe in such a case, in your scenario, Reuven, who ate a meal, should set up a very large cos that has, let's say, two revios in it, and he should recite Birkas HaMazon and then give another revios to good old me, who I didn't eat a meal and I didn't make a Birkas HaMazon, because he establishes the kos as a kos of Birkas HaMazon, and anybody who drinks from that kos is mamela drinking from a kos of Birkas HaMazon, and now I can fill my dalit kosos. The counter argument to that is that dalit kosos requires a separate kos, so I can't share your kos with you. So the chal, that's an interesting question. Forget about Birkas HaMazon. Any of the dalit kosos, can somebody be motzi me by reciting the brachas and using a kos that is kola, that is mechil shtei revios, and I would drink a revios or rov revios, whatever the shear is, from his kos? Or do I have to add my own kos?
So I would say it would work in kesh v'sheva, because it works for kiddush.
And then we have the merger
theory.
The merger theory. But I'm just saying, if we could apply that merger theory to Birkas HaMazon, then it might make sense to say that if you didn't bench, you should get a revius yayin from the person who did bench through the merger theory. I don't know. Fascinating question.
I'm troubled by his lashon, but maybe they're going to say his lashon of nivla. Isn't nigra more relevant?
Yeah, Nivla bothers me a lot. He's imagining like something that's batel. It's like it loses its identity. It's completely Nivla. You know, we have cases of Nivla. In fact, one of the topics that I prepared for today is the case of Nivla, where you have a tarovus of Chatos and Oshov, and one is Boleh and the other. There is such a concept of Nivla. I would have been careful and avoided the word Nivla here, because I don't believe for one moment that there is this theory of Kol Yom Gavar here that he presents. You know, Echad Sholeid Al Hasheni, I don't...
I think he did it at Matech of Greira at one stage, didn't he?
Trying to remember. I know we touched on Greira somewhere or other, but I don't remember.
It sounds like Greira to me rather than a Matech.
Ah, okay. But Greira in the sense of two Kiyumim, each one L'chor is independent, that overlap at some point. That's your greater than
the rules of one.
Control the other, or schlep over the other.
Right. It's
so I think that's a fascinating thing, because we're seeing over and over again a big plukta of, you know, this polemos as to whether or not each kiyum retains its regulations, or, you know, we change the rules of the game. Okay, here's an interesting topic. Again, about merger. Kriyas HaHalel B'Leil HaPesach. Okay, so on the one hand, he says we have the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And on the other hand, we have the mitzvah of Kriyas HaHalel. And the question is, on Leil Pesach, do we have an overlap of these two kiyumin? Meaning that even Hallel on Leil HaPesach becomes a kiyum of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now you and I might say, well, if there's a machayev of Hallel, that remains an independent entity and a kiyum unto itself. But on the other hand, since they integrated Hallel into the very fabric of the Dalit Kosos, we're tempted to think that the Hallel itself is part of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now, if you ask me to single out one paragraph in Hallel for this purpose, I would say B'tzeis Yomim Mitzrayim. So we do mention Yetzias Mitzrayim in Hallel. Now, you might say, well, that's because the general mitzvah of Hallel applies the whole year round. But it might be an extra kiyum, because why did... Again, it's not just coincidence. You know, it's not just a coincidental act. Overlap that the fourth cuss is the cuss of Hallel. It must be some sort of more integrated kiyum, and therefore Hallel on Leil HaPesach takes on a whole new status, and it becomes a kiyum of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim.
Generally, Hallel is a dinyan shachris, so this is a special Hallel.
Right. This Hallel is derived from Sukkim B'Leil is Kaddish Chag, which is a pasuk I think in Yeshayahu HaNavi, that we need a Hallel on Leil HaPesach. But now we're asking, can we go a step further? Once we derive the Chiyuv Hallel on Leil HaPesach, can we now integrate it into the Chiyuv of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? So that the Hallel now is a perfect merger of two different Chiyuv. So he says the following. Tosis, of all places, in Masechta Megillah, on Daf Chaf Aleph Amid Aleph, says the following. He says, V'chol Mokom Halacha K'Rabbi Lazar, the ikar stoma bi arvei psachim de koi kavase. We have a stam mission in arvei psachim, and therefore we're going to paskin like Rabbi Lozer in Cain. Now, keep in mind, Rabbi Lozer's shita is that the latest time for Korban Pesach is Chatzos. Where do we have a stam mishnah like Rabbi Lozer? So there's a mission in arvei psachim that says that you have to eat the afikomen before chatzos. Tzorach lemayer lechol matzah b'leil pesach kodim chatzos. And why is that? Now, let's assume that you're eating the first kezayis of matzah. The first kezayis of matzah is a mitzvah d'oraisa b'erev tochlu matzos. Afikomen is already more derabbanitic, although afikomen is a very complicated institution. But let's assume that afikomen is a drabbanon, maybe even it's not a drabbanon. They don't grant you that it's a drabbanon. That's as far as I'm going to go. So now, as far as the matzah do rice is concerned, we have a hekish matzah and Pesach, and therefore, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, we're going to have to force you to eat the first kezayis of matzah before chatzos. Tosfos says, what about the afikomen, which is only drabbanon? And he wants to suggest that afilu matzah shall afikomen, he should be machmir to finish the afikomen before chatzos. You're all familiar with that. I mean, everybody goes crazy over this. I mean, this is the whole tshuva of the Avdei Nezer. What do you do in a case? Like in most cases we have, you know, until we start the Seder, especially a lot of children at the Seder, it's almost chatzos already before you get started. So how are you going to finish the whole Seder before and get the afikomen in before chatzos? So the Avdei Nezer has a whole acrobatics how to do that. You make a tnai with two different achilas. It's very complicated. Oh, now Tosfos says, Aval Hallel shall achar afikomen, el hachmir kol kach. I'm not going to be machmir and force you to recite the Hallel before chatzos. That's according to Tosfos in Masechta Megillah.
You're really saying the first two parts of the Hallel before.
Correct. But you haven't completed the Hallel. So he says, you know what? Hallel's Durabbanon. You don't have to be Machmir. Okay, you want to be Machmir Fafikomen to make sure you get it in before Chatzos. That's fine. But don't go pushing the envelope as far as Hallel is concerned. Aval ayin ran b'perek arvei pesachim. The mashma the halel b'leil pesach nami afal gav the rabbanan hu. And he says v'chein near barama b'sefer mitzvus that halel should be recited before chatzos. So b'kitzer rabosai. Again, I'm shortening it, you know, for our purposes. There's a lot of diukim here in Rishonim that he has page after page, but the bottom line is he has a machlokas Rishonim where the hal has to be recited before chatzos. And he says the following: Lefi shitas bali atosvis sipur yitzias mitzrayim hu mitzvah doraisa kriyas ahalel hi mitzvah derabonon. The whole mitzvah omenes b'fnei atzva. L'fishitas harabim sipitzis mitzrayim u'kriyas ha'halel are all doraisa. So again, the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvah seems to indicate that halel on leil ha'pesach is doraisa. Why is it doraisa the rest of the year? It's only derabbanan. The answer is part of what? Sipur yitzias mitzrayim. So what we're seeing here is an overlap between two mitzvahs. We have a general mitzvah of Halel, that's Derabbanan, and now we have a specific mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is Doraisa, and now they overlap. The Halel itself becomes Doraisa. And that's what the Rambam says in Sefer Mitzvah, that Kriyas HaHalel on Leil Pesach is Doraisa, in contrast to Kriyas HaHalel the whole year round, which is only Derabbanan. So the Rambam has a kind of a merger here, that the Kriyas HaHalel now becomes a chiyuv, a mitzvah doraisa, because of the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim element of Halel. Other Rishonim disagree, and they will say no, Kriyas HaHalel remains the Rabbanon, and Nafkimina, whether after the Machmir before Chatzos, even though we have a mitzvah doraisa Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, but that has no impact on Halel. Halel remains an independent mitzvah of Halel, which is only the Rabbanon. So the Rambam takes Halel and he changes it into a doraisa. What gives him the right to change it into a doraisa when Halel is the Rabbanon? The answer is because on Leil Pesach we have a mitzvah doraisa of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is fulfilled through the Halel. By the way, this means that Sipur is not just telling stories. Sipur means thanking and expressing our gratitude to Hashem. And how do we express our gratitude? By reciting Halel. Yeah. Right, that's the Mishnah over there on Kuftes Zayin or wherever it is, Kuftes Vav, that says that the one Amora asks the other Amora, what happens if an Eved gets freed by his master? What should he say to the master? He says he should give him a great Yashikaya. That's not what it says, but he says it should be Makir Tova. He says Patarim Milomar Manishtar, meaning that's exactly what the Leil HaPesach is all about, is to give gratitude to Hashem for taking us out of Mitzrayim. So again, Rabosai, we have here an overlap and two shitas about how to deal with this overlap, how to define it. One sheet is that you have Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim and you have Halel. Halel is the universal mitzvah of Halel that applies the whole year round. The Chiddush year is that here it applies at night. But Halel remains the Rabbanon, and therefore we can be Mekel perhaps as far as Chatzos is concerned, where Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is Doraisa, and never the twain shall meet, although they do meet. But they're separate. Now we have the Rambam Shita, and apparently the Ran as well, that there's a total merger here. And therefore we upgrade the status of Halel on this night to a Doraisa, because the Halel now becomes a vehicle of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the Nafkamina is going to be whether we have to treat Halel and that mitzvah of Halel on this night as a Doraisa. According to the Rambam, we have to treat it as a Doraisa. He says, if that be the case, maybe we can answer the kash of Tosfos. This Tosfos, we're going through a lot of different Tosfos in the Shas, is a Masechtas Sukkah. And on the sugya of someone who has an Eved, he says here that the din of Eved is the same as the din of Isha with regard to Mitzvah Seishas Van Grom. So for example, the Mitzvah of Sukkah, a woman technically is exempt from the mitzvah of sukkah, correct? And now we're saying that an eved, because his status is the same as Nisha, is likewise exempt from the mitzvah of sukkah. Says Tosfos, mashma mikan, the isha p'tura mi halel de sukkos. That the Gemara seems to assume that a woman is exempt not just from the mitzvah of sukkah, but also likewise from the mitzvah of halel. V'chein ba'atzeres. And the same things as Tosafot supplies on Shavuos. V'taima, why should she be exempt from halel? Mishum davi mitzvah aseishas mine grom. Oh, now he asks, the afal gavda halel b'leil psochem, mashma b'perek avi psochem, d'machayve b'dalet kosos, u'mestomolo tiknu dalet kosel k'dei lomar aleim halel v'agoda. Tosafot says, I don't understand. If you're telling me that a woman is exempt from halel because it's a mitzvah seishas mine grama, what are you going to do on Leil Pesach? On Leil Pesach, women are obligated like men in the mitzvah of Dalet Kosos. And the fourth of the Dalet Kosos is the Kos of Halel. This is going to be an anomaly. This is going to be a paradox. You're going to tell me on the one hand, women are obligated in Dalet Kosos, including the fourth Kos, which is the Kos of what? Of Halel. And yet, women are exempt from Halel? Elo, he says, Shiny Halel de Pesach. Tosu says that the Halel of Pesach is a different kind of Halel. The Afhein Hoyu Bioso Adnes. In other words, that even though Halel the whole year round is a mitzvah seishas mine grom and ushim p'turos, but Halel on Leil Pesach, women are obligated to it. Why? Because since the Halel is part of the mitzvah of Dalet Kosos, and women are obligated to Dalet Kosos, therefore, so facto, they become obligated in the mitzvah of Halel. So here's something fascinating. The merger here between Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim, represented here by the Dalet Kosos, and the Halel, generates a chiyuv on women to recite Halel. Where did I have something similar? It's driving me a little crazy. One second. If you say... Yeah, now I got it. What's the status of Halel on Hanukkah for women? Women are parted from Halel the whole year round because the mitzvah sheis man grom, and that should apply to Hanukkah as well. But in Hanukkah we have a din of persumei nisa v'afhei hoy bosanes. Right, l'shon acheres kovim liyamei Halel ve'odah. Rashi says Halodah is kriyas Halel. So the mela, although b'toras Halel women are exempt, is man groma, but b'toras Hanukkah, because the separate takon of Hanukkah and afhei hoy bosanes, they are obligated in the mitzvah of Halel. And I would go a step further. In Musaf, forget about Musaf. Let's talk about, we're on Hanukkah, so there's no Musaf. Let's talk about Shachris, right? Shachris on Hanukkah, we have Azkar Me'ein Hama'ora, which means that we add Al-Anisim. So it could be that women are obligated to daven on Hanukkah. I don't know if you want to tell the ladies this. They might be upset. In other words, let's assume that women are exempt from tefillah the whole year round. And they could be yotzei with moda'ani, let's say, according to that sheet. On Hanukkah, they have to daven. Why? Because of Al-Anisim. Because that's already a din of Hanukkah. That's not a din of tefillah. Tefillah they're exempt from. But Halel and Al-Anisim, they're not exempt from, because Afein Hoyim also are next. So that's what he's saying here as far as Leil Pesach. Since women are included in Tzipri Tzis Mitzrayim and Dalet Kosos, then Halel, insofar as it's an overlap, a merger with Tzipri Tzis Mitzrayim, is Mechayiv women as well, even though it's his mind growth. That's a beautiful shtickle.
The main Ma'ir has some different din, I think. If I'm not,
well, it depends. But I don't know. Is Ma'ir Ma'ora.
Spoke about it.
Yeah. Is Ma'ir Ma'ora a din in Tefillah, a Chiyuv Tefillah, or is it a Chiyuv of Hanukkah? Now, like one Nafkamina would be, let's say, I left out Me'ena Ma'ora, do I have to repeat Shmon Esrei? So it could be, since Me'ena Ma'ora is not Mechayev to repeat Shmon Esrei, but if it's me Din Chanukah, maybe I do have to repeat Shmon Esrei, because that's the only way I can be Mechayev Mechayev Chanukah. Again, there were a whole bunch of Nafkaminas, so I don't remember the whole Shia. You can find it all on Olamot.net. The old days I used to use on 8 o'clock in the morning, I would give a Shia based on Olamot.net. now I'm using Rabbi Gladstein. You know, I switch around. Because the trouble with Olamot.net, it's a great site, is that it's very hard to connect it to the parasha. He tries to do it, but he never explains to you how he achieves that goal. So he'll list it under a parasha, and then you'll go through 20 pages of a chorus, and then at the end you'll say, what does this have to do with the parasha? Sometimes it's one line in the 20. So anyway, I pretty much exhausted all about that, and I still look at it occasionally, but that was my Bible. You know, now I have a new Bible called Daniel Gladstein. I'm hoping that he's going to come here to visit us. You know, Shalom Arbach is...
He's based in Cedarhurst.
He's in Cedarhurst, yeah. He used to be in Queens, but they established a shul in Cedarhurst. I never heard of him. Did you ever hear him speak?
Online. I've heard him on...
I never heard of him online. I just get his makoros. 99% I can't use. I have to read through pages and pages of his makoros in order to get one shiur that I can use. For two reasons. First of all, some of his stuff is halacha. It has nothing to do with the parasha whatsoever. I give a parasha credit. Secondly, he goes into Sodas HaTorah. He's got stuff from the Arizal. You don't know what's flying and what's going. He could quote pages of the Zohar without translating them. The Zohar is written in heavy, heavy Arabic. So again, let's just focus, and then I'll let you go, on this last point. That there's a Tosis in Sukkah who wonders whether or not women should be obligated in Halil on Leil HaPesach. And even though they're exempt from Halal the whole year round, because it's my grandma, Leil Pesach becomes a new kiyum of Sipri Tzis Mitzrayim. And women are obligated in the midst of Sipri Tzis Mitzrayim. He calls it Tosus Dalit Kosos. But what he really means is Sipri Tzis Mitzrayim. Because the third of the, the fourth of the Dalit Kosos is the Kos of Halal. And he says, Shiny Halal de Pesach, the Alanesba, so the Hal is part and parcel of Sipri Tzis Mitzrayim, the Afein Hoyba also a Nes.
According to the Mandam of the Hold, the Raman holds Pasim Mitzrayim, would they be davening a Halal after Marib? Sure.
It should be. You mean since you're going to do it anyway?
That's not Pasim Mitzrayim. According to the other Mandam, maybe that's a way of separating them.
Right. It could be that the Halal in Shul is a whole different chiyuv.
A lot of people are not knowing. And Ashkenaz
right. But those who are knowing, it's not a mitzvah Sipri Tzis Mitzrayim. It's connected with the Achilas HaPesach. Because Chazal say that at the time of the Achilas HaPesach they used to recite Shira. Wow. The other Halel, which is broken up into two, that's already part of Sipri Tzis Mitzrayim. That's the one that we're focused on now. So I'm not sure that we have to obligate women in the Halel of Shul, because although a woman could eat the Korban Pesach, but she's not obligated to do so. But in Sipri Tzis Mitzrayim she has a chiyuv that's identical to the men, and therefore she has to recite Halel. And that's Tosis. He says, Afed Oyebos are Nes, and women are obligated in Sipri Tzis Mitzrayim. Okay then, so we'll stop here. That's a show. Does anybody have a pencil? I just want to make a note of where we got up to. Alright, I'll use a pen. It's my book anyway, so.
Rabbi, did you get my message in your phone?